Talk Radio Network.
Bobby Helms, that's a great oldie. One of my favorite Christmas songs, as a matter of fact. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my partner and buddy, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Monday, December the 12th, as we approach the Yuletide Day even closer. We got a lot going on. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Jessica Malugin of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk to her about TikTok and Twitter. A bunch of states want to ban TikTok in their government offices. We'll talk about that. While there's a question on whether Twitter really did anything wrong by banning conservative speech. Did they? We're going to talk with her about that. And we know hypocrisy and politics go hand in hand. They're identical, are they not? We all know that. But when the transportation secretary, who advocates for more carbon cutting, continues to fly on private jets, we're going to take a look at it, all right? So stay tuned for that. And a Christian group is booted out of a restaurant. They had made reservations. You know, when you go and make reservations for a side room, you know, you're going to throw a little party for somebody or you have a business meeting going on. So they make provisions for that. Then they're kicked out at the last minute. They're kicked out at the last minute because somebody objects to their standing. We're going to take a look at that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we gave you on our last show the top 10 states with the worst drivers. We're going to give you the top 10 states with the best drivers. If you got to go travel somewhere, you want to go to these states. So stay tuned for that as well. All right, so I read this story this morning. It kind of scared me. Did you know Orlando Airport could run out of fuel by the end of this week? They could run out of fuel. The Federal Aviation Administration is warning pilots that the airport is running low on fuel. You know, if you land your plane, commercial plane there, you fully expect to be able to take off and go somewhere else. So in an official notice, the agency said that they have supply issues. And pilots should be prepared to come into the airport with enough fuel to get the hell out of the airport. Okay. Does this have anything to do with our running concern about, diesel fuel and jet fuel.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of scary, isn't it?
It's in the same family, I believe. But couldn't you just go to the next plane and siphon some out of theirs?
Yeah. Yeah. I think
that's
so.
That's what I would do.
You know, or what you do also, you know, the less weight you have in the plane, the further you can fly on the fuel you got. So what I suggest is you go ahead and take off. And as you need the lighter plane to get further, you just start, do a little lottery and start kicking people off.
We could break out one of those solar planes.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, they don't have those yet.
There's all kinds of things.
They don't have those yet.
Oh,
never mind.
No, that's too bad. Anyway, it is kind of scary. They say the truth is that there was some sort of weather along the Gulf Coast that prevented ships from transporting certain fuel to get into the country. So it isn't like, They didn't have the fuel. It's just apparently we couldn't get to it.
So we're importing it. Is that what they're saying?
Well, of course.
Was it coming from one of our ports?
It says here that Orlando Airport said the supply issue was the result of weather along the Gulf Coast that prevented ships from transporting fuel. Unless it was coming from directly from Texas or something.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, maybe that.
Maybe that. Anyway, speaking about airplanes. Speaking about airplanes, a Libyan man accused of making the bomb that killed all of those people, 270 people over Scotland, 34 years ago, is finally in custody. And he's in custody in Scotland. The U.S. says that this guy, Abu Masood, they had announced charges against him. They figured out that he was the guy that actually constructed the bomb or played a key role in the bombing. And they made that announcement 2 years ago, so we have landed him. And good for them for finding him. By the way, that Lockerbie, Scotland plane explosion, you know, killed about 11 people on the ground. It is the deadliest terrorist incident to ever have taken place on British soil.
I still remember the images of that.
It's horrible.
Of course, that was the 747 Pan Am, I believe.
It was the Pan Am. It was actually, let's see. Yeah, it was a Pan Am. I don't know if it was a you're right. It was a 747.
I remember the nose cone and the whole upper deck in one big chunk just laying on the countryside. Do you know that it was, I believe it happened at like 30,000 feet. And the wreckage was about, I want to say, 650 square miles.
I wouldn't be surprised at that height. It killed 11 people. It was actually 259 people in the plane and 11 people on the ground. You know that the timer on that thing was set supposedly to go off so that it would have exploded over the ocean. But there was a delay in the flight, so it never got to the ocean before it exploded. Apparently this guy's going to make some sort of an appearance in a federal court in Washington. Well, that's good. We're delighted to hear that.
And that was all backed by Gaddafi, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think Gaddafi had something to do with it. I don't remember all of the details. It says here, 5 years ago, this guy was serving a prison sentence in Libya for bomb making, this guy that we've got. There was another guy that was convicted 21 years ago in the bombing. He died in prison. So this is one of the other guys. This guy apparently had confessed to being involved while he was in jail. I don't know, maybe they talked. They got some other guy to make him blab it or something.
Geez, he's
got
to be, what, 60, 70
years? He's an old man.
60, 70 years old?
Saw a picture of him. Kind of, he was in a group of people. I mean, he looked like a nice guy. Well, of course, you can never base anything on looks. But he looked like a fairly nice guy. But they got him. And after all these years, there's still people. Obviously, there were so many Americans on board, obviously. He was going to fly to New York.
Right.
Yeah. And I saw one of the brothers of one of the victims. He's still upset about it. Mm-hmm. He's still upset about it. But he was very grateful to hear that they got this guy. Anyway, let's take our break. When we come back, Jessica Malusian is going to join us, and we're going to talk to her about TikTok and Twitter.
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on Freedom Works on a Monday. So glad you are with us. Hope it's warm where you are. It's fairly nice here, a little overcast. Delighted to have back Jessica Malugin. She is the director of the Competitive Enterprise Institute's Center for Technology and Innovation, and we're going to talk to her about two things, TikTok and Twitter, because both of them getting a lot of attention these days, Jessica. TikTok's having a tough time. A bunch of states want to ban the application in some of their government phones and in the offices, following on the heels of other states that have done similar things. TikTok is a Chinese app, right?
Yeah, the problem here is that all of this information is ultimately has to be under Chinese law made available to the Chinese government. So the question has been, you know, are there safeguards we can put in place that keep both flows one way of U.S. consumer information from going to the Chinese government and also the influence of the Chinese government from going to U.S. users? So, the federal government in high-level talks about that. Most of the details of that are not disclosed, but they're having some problems hammering out how to do that. And so now we see this movement, and I think five states right now. I want to say it's Nebraska, South Dakota, South Carolina, Texas, and Maryland have all said to their government workers, no TikTok on government devices. So you see, while the federal government can't quite get this over the finish line, you see the states moving in to take action.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to China, we're getting a lot of things from China, whether it's mainland China or Taiwan. We do a lot of importing. But when you are importing an app and you're thinking about China, it is kind of scary. You know, I got TikTok popped up on my Android phone one day, and I had not even known that I downloaded it. So it's kind of sneaky. It's kind of sneaky too.
It is kind of sneaky, and you're right. You know, the trade we do with China is one thing, and not without its controversies. But this sort of gets into the really murky area of national security, right? So I'm a very pro free trader for the most part, but that's, you know, keeping our country safe is a very legitimate use of government power. So we sort of have to tread lightly here, because if there really is a danger to U.S. users or to the security of our country, you know, that's something that sort of rises to a higher level.
If the states are considering banning it from their offices, they must. Well, here's the deal. If I don't understand why any state would want to have a TikTok app anywhere near their offices. Let's put it that way. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to get anywhere close to giving out information that might end up in the hands of China?
Yeah, well, I think your first point is certainly a good one. I mean, I don't know what these government employees having TikTok on their government-issued phones means anyway. I certainly don't want them enjoying TikTok while they're on the clock. None of us should be doing that at work, no matter who we work for, but beyond that, you know, I think that there's this TikTok is the fastest growing app in popularity right now. And what the bulk of it is very young users posting dance videos and silly things. It's very lighthearted compared to the other platforms in terms of what content people put on it, it tends to be not very political and stays out of a lot of trouble that way. But I think that the, you know, that's how people perceive it. Young users don't, they think, well, what does the Chinese Communist Party care about me doing a dance video? And, you know, that's a good question. But I think the way to think about it, and Quan Kitchens at the American Enterprise Institute talks about it this way, I think it's really insightful. He says, picture that your TikTok app is a little camera and it's recording everything that's going on, where you are and what you do and how much you use it. And think about the Chinese government having all those little cameras all over the United States. And if that makes you feel uncomfortable, that probably indicates you shouldn't be on TikTok, right? Yeah. If that's something that worries you, then there you go, because that's kind of what it is. I can't tell you how the communists are going to make use of dance videos, but I can tell you that it's a creepy feeling to think about all of that information.
Yeah, it's kind of like a peeping Tom kind of thing, you know. Somebody's watching you that you may not know. You mentioned that TikTok has deceived consumers by claiming that they were appropriate for teens when it is, in fact, had abundant alcohol, tobacco, and drug content on it. So, although it's hard for kids not to see this kind of thing no matter where they go.
Yeah, I mean, listen, all of the internet is right for that. And unfortunately, all of the real world we live in is right for that, right? I don't think there's any easy answers with what's appropriate for teens. And I think also all of this to me comes down to a personal parental responsibility first and foremost, right? It's not just that I don't want federal bureaucrats helping me parent. It's that I don't even think they could do it if they wanted to, right? It just doesn't work like that. If you're someone who believes in limited government and personal responsibility, all the internet stuff and the app stuff really isn't any different. And it's hard for parents. It's challenging. I'm a parent. I know it's not fun to say no to your kids and make sure you have their passwords and you're keeping an eye on one more thing, which is their online life. But that really is, you know, it's like everything else, right? The hard thing and the right thing are often the same thing.
Yeah, you're right. We're talking with Jessica Malugin. She is the director of the Competitive Enterprise Institute's Center for Technology and Innovation. And we want to talk to her a little bit about Twitter and what's going on there. This thing, and you make a very good point, Jessica, no matter how we feel about the, I guess, the former employees of Twitter and how they handled that app, the truth is that they're a private company. And did they really do anything unconstitutional or illegal, even if they did ban some conservative speech?
Yeah, I mean, this is really messy, right? Because they're a private company, they can do what they want, and their terms of service are probably pretty airtight, where basically when you cut through however many pages of legalese, what you're going to find in those terms of service is, we can do what we want. And we can change our minds, and we don't have to tell you. And that's they're right. But I will say, it's no way to do business, right? It certainly is not a good business plan to sort of wink-wink, make people think, oh, we're not political, we don't make political decisions, and then have that be, there's a few pockets of all this where that looks a little suspicious, right? Some of it is just that moderating content is really hard. What is untrue? What is not true? Who knows that right away as soon as a story is coming out? Mistakes get made. It's a difficult job. That's part of it.
Yeah.
But I think you have to be upfront. You know, I think a lot of America would feel better if these companies, if they are in fact being politically biased, would sort of just own that, and that might make it easier for users to sort themselves onto platforms where they feel more comfortable. But this story is funny because, you know, half the people who read it, it's just confirming everyone's priors. Half the people who read it kind of from the left say, who cares? We already knew that. No big deal. Whatever. And then people on the right really feel betrayed and upset. And, you know, this is the smoking gun. I think the truth is probably somewhere in between.
Yeah, indeed.
There probably is a little bias happening there, even though that's their right to operate how they want. And the good news is that there's a new sheriff in town. And hopefully Elon can do a better job with transparency and with making better decisions. I think all the platforms are learning as they go.
Yeah. I think Elon is kind of enjoying this. You know, he's slowly releasing all of this stuff. He's making these former heads of Twitter look kind of hypocritical, I would say. I mean, like I said, though, this is a private company. Here's where it gets to me to be a little complicated. It used to be like with radio and television, because they were on public airwaves, they had to be careful about what they did and said, and they had to kind of grant, in many cases, equal access. For a while, if you were doing a political talk show on radio and you had somebody from a particular side point of view, you would have to balance it by having somebody from the other side come in later. Well, they finally abandoned that because they couldn't enforce it. But with, like, the internet, Jessica, let me ask you, it's like the airwaves of the internet airwaves. Now, does that mean that if you get into that and you get on somebody's phone and all this and that, that you do have some sort of a responsibility for balance?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's a really different playing field, and I think we all as consumers of that have a little bit of a learning curve to catch up on, understandably so. But, you know, those rules were sort of part of the justification for the fairness doctrine and things like that, was that there was, you know, there was a finite amount of licenses in broadcasting space, so you didn't want it used up all in one way, which, by the way, it pretty much was from the left anyway. And it wasn't until all those controls were taken off that you see the rise of conservative talk radio and cable stations like Fox News. But the internet's very different, right? Because we never run out of room to build the internet. You can always build a counterpoint. And I think we don't want to lose that. You know, I think that what I would like, I don't think that perfect objectivity is usually possible, perfect fairness all the time, because that's impossible to define and means different things to different people. But I think what you can look forward to is people building more biased platforms against each other, right? And being a consumer of the news on the internet, you can go and find sort of infinite resources and draw your own conclusions. Because after all, if we as Americans believe we are endowed with the God-given right to vote and decide for ourselves, I think we can handle sorting through the news.
Yeah, that sounds...
I don't want anyone helping me from Washington to do that. I don't need anyone else to decide what the truth is except me and my own little brain.
Well stated. I think my buddy Ed has a question, I think, for you.
I was just going to say, Jessica, you know, along with the heads of old heads of Twitter being exposed, we've got people like Michelle Obama. We're finding out that she was pressing hard, very hard, for Donald Trump to be removed from Twitter.
Yeah, well, yeah, and this is a really interesting part of it, you know, because I study this for a living. I can tell you that just about everyone in the world who thinks they have any influence has contacted these platforms and asked for this or that to be taken off or put back on. You know, that's really commonplace, but I don't think that that's common knowledge for people who are busy, you know, raising their families and living their lives and making a living. And I think that was a real shock for people, the interplay between government officials or a first lady, which is a strange, you know, she's not a government employee, she's not an elected official, but obviously we all know there's got to be some pull there, some influence there that she has. So I think when things get sticky is when you see the government actors pushing on these platforms, right? And that's where we have to be kind of hyper-vigilant about if government coercion is being used to make these decisions,
well,
right? If a private company makes a decision I don't like, well, I'm out of luck, but the government's not allowed to do that.
I think
they can ask, but they can't threaten.
And this gets very sticky because, let's say, like, the government gets to Jack Dorsey, the former guy that ran Twitter, and it convinces him to ban certain things like the Hunter Biden laptop. And here we go into the election in 2020, and they have banned talking about it, despite the New York Post and this and that. And now people are going, well, you know, if I had known that that was going on, I might have voted for Trump rather than for... So now you're worried that could an application influence... an election, and even if it could, does it make any difference if it could?
Well, I mean, I'll give you the good news on this. The good news is that story, that week that it came out, and then within the first 24 hours, it was taken off Twitter and kind of suppressed at Facebook. That story blew up. If nobody remembers, this is the timeline, but I can assure you. That story got so much extra press because these platforms were trying to not promote it. It's called the Barbara Streisand effect, and it basically is a story about Barbara Streisand wanting to keep her home sale private. And as soon as she said that, you know, the story exploded all over. So we call it the Barbara Streisand effect, and that's what happened. You know, Jack Dorsey was called to testify in Congress about taking that story off on October 23rd. He was called to testify. So it was close to the election, but we were already having this conversation then. Now, that's not saying that it was a good call for Twitter or Facebook. I don't defend that call. It was the wrong call. It's just to say that when social media platforms make mistakes, whatever their motivation, it doesn't break our democracy, right? We knew about this. I can't prove or disprove how many votes would have changed if it would have stayed normalized on these platforms, but I don't think that this is a direct threat to democracy.
Yeah,
you know, I think that's sort of a self-serving argument for Republicans.
Now they were not the only ones. I think people think that Facebook and maybe even Google suppressed it, but like you just said, everybody was talking about it being suppressed.
Yeah.
So how many people did not know a doggone thing about it? Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that the great thing about our media world today is it's so much bigger than it used to be, right? It used to be a couple networks and some radio stations, and now it's satellite radio and podcasts and all these different news sites, and all those newspapers also have their own websites, right? The New York Post website, believe me, was getting plenty of clicks that day on that story. And that's great, right? Because that means that that power is decentralized, and it's not just up to Jack Dorsey what we read and what we don't. So I would say that while that, I think, was a bad call from those two platforms, I don't think that it broke the whole media cycle, and I don't think it was a threat to democracy.
You know, we're talking about Facebook and Twitter, but let's not forget YouTube. YouTube is another one that is a fine entity, and when you talk about podcasts and stuff like that, a lot of people use it, but by golly, we know right here from this radio station that if you bring up the subject, even today, of the election of 2020, and that you don't feel it was legit, you get a strike, and if you get three of those, you're banned. You can't even bring it up.
Yeah.
On YouTube?
Correct. You can't even bring it up.
It's still?
Still.
Yeah. I think that you're going to start seeing, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with the site Rumble, but it's sort of the alternative to YouTube. And I think that, you know, is the worse it gets with these websites, the more incentive there is for someone to give you an alternative.
That's true.
Right?
Yes.
And if we're really free marketeers, we have to sort of hold tight to that because this is all relatively new. And it takes a while to get these things up and going. But if you think about love it or don't, I'm glad for more options, right? I'm glad that there's Parler and Truth Social. I'm not on them. I don't use them. I don't know. But I'm happy for people to have places that they feel more comfortable if they don't feel comfortable on our, you know, current leaders' platforms. I don't think that they'll be leaders forever if that keeps up. You can't afford to lose half the country.
I wonder if Elon's got a few bucks left. Maybe he can purchase YouTube.
I hear he's got some extra money.
Right.
He's got a few bucks. He's got a couple of dollars left in his wallet. Come on.
Jessica, you make me feel better by saying what you did, because that's exactly right. I agree, as a libertarian. It just opens up for others to come in and fill the gap. Thank you so very much for being with us, and we hope you have a very Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to all of you. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, Jessica. Jessica Malugin, all right. Hey, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Pete Buttigieg, transportation secretary. He's hopping on all of these private jets. Meantime, he's talking about, fossil fuel and all of that kind of thing. And a Christian group kicked out of a restaurant. They were going to use one of the side rooms. They booked it. But somebody didn't like them, so they kicked them out. We'll talk about that.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello. Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Philly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is Marine Wildlife Artist and Conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works, and thank you so very much for being with us. So, Ed, Brittany Griner, she's back on the courts. In fact, she's been seen dunking the basketball again. So, apparently, she is not the worst too much for wear. After having been in that prison, how long was she there? Well, quite a few months, wasn't
she? Yeah, I know she was sentenced to hard labor, and that hard labor is not putting widgets together.
No.
You're out there breaking rocks. I wonder if she did any of that. If she got to that, or...
That's a very good... She'll certainly bring it up. You know, I think we talked about the Machiavellian philosophy on this whole thing. The WNBA intentionally wants her to get... get caught in Russia doing something so that they can get more publicity when she comes back. Right?
Until she comes out, or if she comes out and says, listen, I could have avoided this whole situation by not bringing my drugs to Moscow. You know, whether they're legit or not, if it's kind of an iffy subject, you don't take the chance. So until she comes out and says that, I have no use for her whatsoever.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole exchange was ridiculous. And it's not going to stop here. I mean, now it's like, hey, grab an American, you can get whatever you want now.
Do you think that...
You know?
Do you think that future administrations will actually go the other way because of this and say, you know what, we're not going to do a trade like this?
And that stinks because...
Then it's unfair the other way?
Well, yeah. It's unfair the other way because somebody's going to be in captivity for a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just say, listen, we're not going to put up with this, but...
I guess we should be happy that in some ways because a few drugs and then have to.
I don't have a problem with trading a spy for a spy. We all do it. I mean, we hear about all Chinese spies. Listen, we've got American spies. Don't talk noise.
Our hands are just as dirty.
Exactly. We've got hackers too.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on. They got caught.
Yeah, we're hacking them. They're hacking us.
Yeah, you want to trade an eye for an eye?
We're spying on them.
Fine.
They're spying on us.
Don't trade a meatball for a prime rib steak, you know? Come on.
Very good. Very good, Ed. Thank you. Now, our buddy Pete Buttigieg, he's the transportation secretary. You know, he didn't even know what the hell the transportation department was all about until he got that. He was just the mayor of Indianapolis. What does that have to do with being a transportation secretary? Anyway, he is an advocate of increased government action to curb carbon emissions. He has been traveling across the country using a private jet managed by the FAA. A private jet. Come on now.
Paul?
He and John Kerry, two of them,
It's one of them solar planes.
Oh, yeah.
They're secret.
So
they're the only ones that got it.
So it doesn't expend any bad fuels.
These people that are all about green energy, we want to the planet first, and then they do this. Listen, when somebody's a vegetarian, they don't eat meat, period. They don't just have meat on Fridays or Saturdays or when they go out and have a drink or two. They don't eat meat, Pete. They're vegetarians. Well, if you're going to be an over-the-top planet guy, then I want to see you in an electric car all the time. And don't buy a gas car
no.
so you can use it to go on long trips and leave the electric vehicle at home. No.
Got to use the electric vehicle.
Solar panels throughout your house. No electricity from the government or from the city. Nothing.
Nothing. You know, now he's not the first transportation secretary to fly private. Elaine Chao, who was Donald Trump's, but she wasn't going around advocating for the elimination of fossil fuels. But she faced criticism. She used jets, and certainly it certainly cost taxpayers money. Tom Price, who was the Health and Human Services Secretary, he was forced to quit. He took 26 private jet flights. Well, Buttigieg has taken 19, or at least, no, has taken at least 18. At least 18 private jet flights.
You want to see how in touch a person like that is? Walk up to him and ask him, what is the average cost per hour to use that jet? And I bet you they couldn't come close.
I don't think he has any idea.
They don't know how much a gallon of gas is right now.
Yeah.
They have no idea.
I want to see Buttigieg in economy. Okay? I want to see him flying economy. In fact, I'd like to sit down next to him in economy and give him a piece of my
mind. I think he should shack up with the Amish. You know, horse and buggy.
Oh.
Yeah, you just got to feed the horse.
Well, that's
true. Feed the horse green stuff, and then use the poop fertilization.
Fertilizer. Manure. All right.
We got Angelo.
Angelo Ceresi. Our Eye in the Northern Sky has called in. We got to talk with him because there's a... Well, we want to talk to him anyway. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How you doing, Paul?
Fine. What's going on?
Well, it's 20 degrees out here in Rochester, New York.
20?
Cloudy, overcast, and 20 degrees. 28
what?
Degrees.
28 degrees.
28.
Heat wave. You got any snow yet?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Not much.
And how are things going in the wonderful city of Rochester and in the state of New York these days?
Well, New York State is faltering. You know, we got the Queen, you know, Her Majesty there, Kathy Hochul.
Yes.
They're changing things around. Now she wants to give reparations to the minority people.
Okay.
You know?
She wants to give taxpayer-funded money to minority groups?
Yes.
She's not the first one. Yeah, she's not the first one to bring that up. This is something that would never, even if they had tried to attempt it, would never work. I mean, all you have to do is realize that, first of all, the right people would not get the right amount, and there would be many people that would get it that never deserved it in the first place. So reparations, because based on your ethnicity, is an absolute joke. Everybody knows it's a joke. They dangle that thing up in front of people. I think, frankly, Democrats dangle that up there just to further divide people.
Well, now it's just to divide people, but then they think they're going to get their votes, you know? And then,
That's it.
Just like Biden, when he
divide and conquer.
Promised the young people the education bailout, right?
Right.
He just can't do it, and then these people fell for it.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. They know that the reparations thing is never going to... but if they talk about it, then you get people upset and taking sides on it. And exactly. And so now you're going to get more Democrats that will probably give you whatever you're looking for, keep you in power.
Right. That's all it is. That's all they're trying to do, you know, and keep dividing the country even more.
Have you? Mm-hmm. Before you were on, we had a lady, Jessica Malugin, from the Competitive Enterprise Institute. She was talking about TikTok and Twitter. Have you ever either used TikTok or Twitter?
No, never have.
Okay. I told her that the TikTok app snuck onto my Android phone. I didn't even know it was on there, but I would get these messages. And Ed, I'd tell you this too. I would get these little messages popping up on my iPhone from time. It was almost kind of scary. They were cute little jokey messages from TikTok, but it was like there was somebody spying on me, you know, throwing me these messages from time to time. I didn't even know I had had the app.
Sometimes when you download an app, it's called a bundle.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
It'll sneak its way unless you uncheck. Same thing with a computer. When you're downloading a program, it'll have an ad and say, "Do you want to add such and such?" you have to uncheck that or it automatically adds.
Yeah. No, that could have been the way it happened.
I have a TikTok app on my phone. I had to get a new phone and one of the apps, but I never really got into it there. I might even delete it if I can.
I actually deleted it. I went and I found out a way to get it off, taken. I hope it's completely gone, but I'm not getting the little notes being sent to me anymore, but I did want it off. I was worried about it being able to kind of spy.
Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to do. You know, I mean, they're trying, people have to realize, Communist China is trying to interfere with our elections and with our country, period.
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do.
I got a very important...
No,
go ahead. Go ahead and finish your thought.
And I think this is what their main thing is, trying to disrupt our country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this guy McConnell, I think he's beholden to the Communist Chinese, and I think President Biden is beholden to the Communist Chinese.
You think Mitch McConnell is involved with the Chinese?
Sure. His wife's family owns quite a bit of business in Communist China, if I recall. I could be wrong, but I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. His wife, in fact, I think, isn't that Chow, the woman we were just talking about, Ed? She was his, and she's an Asian, right?
Mm-hmm.
His wife is Asian, right, Angelo?
I think she's Chinese.
Yes, Chinese. That might be Elaine Chow. I'm not sure, but I think... Listen, I have a very important question for you, Angelo. Mm-hmm. What are you getting me for Christmas?
What am I getting you for Christmas?
Yeah, come on.
Well, I might take a flight down there at Christmas, you know?
I want something.
And with my presents.
No. I want something that I could use. Not something I can't use. I don't need
he's
you.
Always asking,
I don't need you
he's
down
always
here.
Asking if it's snowing up there. Why don't you send him a lump of snow?
Hey, snowball? You want a snowball?
You send us a snowball, I'll send you a lump of coal, and you put it in your stocking.
Oh, we'll send you sand.
Oh, no, it's sand. Yeah, we got plenty of sand down here. That's right.
You got plenty of sand?
Yeah.
If we get some snow, I'll put it in one of these coolers. I'll put some dry ice in it, and I'll send you real Rochester, New York snow. Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm kind of scared he will.
Yeah,
I don't want him to send
it. You have to understand, in Florida, there's not a speck of dirt here. It's all sand. Once you get to Georgia, then it's clay.
Yeah.
That's it.
The Red Georgia clay. I was stationed there. Warner Robins when
That's
I came
right.
back from Vietnam.
That's right. We got all we got is sand and a lot of red ants. I bet we got more red ants in the state than anywhere else in the world.
Sand spurs.
And sand spurs, true.
Would you ever get,
I'll get you some come real down. New York snow.
Yeah, well,
good old New York snow.
Come down here and take your shoes off. We'll send you out in the field out there where the sand spurs are.
We want lake effect snow. That's what we want.
You want lake effect?
Lake effect snow.
If we get lake effect snow, I will send you some. I'll put a note in there. Real lake effect snow.
Okay.
Authentic.
All right, my friend.
Authentic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling in, as always, and you take good care of yourself.
You too. Thank you.
All right.
Have a good week.
Okay, Angelo. Our eye in the northern sky. All right, let's take a short break. And when we come back, among other things, I'm going to tell you finally about this restaurant. Where they had booked a restaurant, a Christian group, and then they got, at the last minute, they got kicked out because of their faith. We'll talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back with the final segment of Freedom Works. Thanks for being with us. By the way, we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And if you want to listen to us again or if you missed the show, Ed puts all our shows on podcast. So all you have to do is go to our website anytime you'd like and click on the podcast button, choose the show you want to listen to. OurFreedomWorks.com is the website. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, so the head of a conservative Christian group in Virginia is saying that members of her group were turned away from a restaurant based only on their religious views. This is the Metzger Bar and Butchery, Richmond, Virginia. They booked a side room, you know, where they've got either a banquet room or a side room. And just an hour and a half before the meeting that they were going to have there, they get a call saying their reservation had been canceled. Apparently the reason given was that a member of the restaurant staff had looked up the organization's website, which says that the group advocates for policies based on biblical principles that enable families to flourish at the state and local level. Apparently that upset somebody on the waitress staff, and they decided to ban the group from showing up because the wait staff was going to refuse to serve the group. Uh-huh. I see. That sounds like a real stretch. It sounds rather unfair to me. So here's Metzger Bar and Butchery's response. We've always prided ourselves on being an inclusive environment. Really? For people to dine in. In 8 years of service, we've rarely refused service to anybody who wished to dine with us. Recently, we refused service to a group that booked an event after the owners found out it was a group of donors to a political organization that seeks to deprive women of LGBTQ plus persons of their basic human rights in Virginia. I don't think that was it at all. And how do they know? How do they know what or how much a group, a Christian group, was involved with anybody that was trying to... Anyway, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. It's very, very frustrating. I'd be very upset. Now, having said that, they can ban anybody they want, but to call them in at the last minute after they accepted their reservation...
I figured.
No good. All right, before we get to our top 10, Ed, I was watching our beloved Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I want you to tell me, I didn't watch the game, but I knew they were playing San Francisco, and it would be a great game. How close was it, Ed? Was it a really exciting game?
After they got off the bus, no. Not at all.
It was a one-sided slaughter.
It was horrible.
It was 37 to 7.
It's obvious that people are not buying into whatever they're trying
to
sell.
What's going on with the Bucks? San Francisco that much better?
No. So no, and the Bucks had some injuries, but to lose that way, no. I'm sensing a lot of guys quitting.
Just quitting on the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That's too bad.
And they're not buying into it. So what's that? But actually, something bothered me over the weekend, and I was waiting till today because you know. You went to college, and where was that? Marquette
University.
Yeah, fine school it is. You took English there, right? You know the English
thing. We had to take journalism.
I was listening to the radio on the weekend, ESPN radio, just because I had to. And a woman in the air chair was talking about a player that went under the blue tent on the NFL sideline to get checked out. Blah, blah, blah. And she said... What is the problem? The player went under and he was examinated.
Was he? Can he still play after being examinated?
I want to know, is examinated a word? Because she used it at least 10 times.
No.
I almost called to tell her to stop.
Yeah.
Because she kept saying...
He's being examined.
Examined.
No, it's examined.
There's no truth about this. The man went under the tent. He was examined. I tell you, it really irked me.
Unless examined means... First thing, he was examined.
Examination.
And then secondly, an organ was removed.
Okay,
then he was really examined.
You can have an examination, right?
I took them in college.
Okay, okay. Well, I never heard of being examined.
I was never examined. I mean, probably...
sounds great. Where do I sign up? But
I know.
Examined. It's just a new...
But you know, if you use a word long enough, even if it's not real, it becomes real. Did you know that? All these words that
ended up getting into the... Anyway, that just bothered me. I knew you straightened it out.
All right. Thank you for bringing that up. Now you can sleep better. Let's get over to our top 10, Ed. These are the top 10 states with the best drivers. We did the worst drivers the last time. So without further ado, with the worst, the best drivers, number 10. Number 10 is Vermont. That's because they're a bunch of saps. Why do I say that? Because of maple syrup, actually, is why I said it. Number 9. Would you believe Louisiana? They drive very slow, apparently, in Louisiana. They got bad highways, but they're good drivers. Number 8. Maine. I think it's wide open roads in Maine.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, number 7. Right next door, New Hampshire.
Well, these northeast states were the bad drivers, remember? In the north, anyway, the northern states?
We had some, going back to the worst drivers, it included Iowa, Wisconsin.
Utah.
Utah was number 1. North Dakota. I don't see any northeastern states, though, that were in the bad drivers.
No.
I must tell you that. All right, where are we? Number 6, Kentucky.
Okay.
They're good drivers in Kentucky.
Yeah.
That's because a lot of horses, and you know, you're slower. Yeah. Number 5. Arkansas. I don't know why they would be good drivers in Arkansas. There must be a good reason for it. But they're 5th best. Number 4. Well, this is sort of the Northeast. Not really. It's called Middle Atlantic. Delaware. Joe Biden country.
Mm.
They must slow down for his entourage.
They're just slow, period.
They're probably slow. Number 3. Hey, West Virginia. You know, West Virginia gets a bad rap for a lot of things. But let's be honest about it. They're coal producers, you know, energy producers.
They were in a John Denver song.
They were in a John Denver song. That's another thing. Mm-hmm. All right, number 2. Would you believe Michigan?
Wow.
Now, I don't know why Michigan would be good. And by the way, it's a Midwestern state.
Yeah, but Michigan is so big and wide open.
Have you ever been to the Northern Peninsula?
No.
I haven't either. I'd like to go there sometime.
I've been about halfway up, just north of Detroit.
Well, I've been to Detroit, you know.
Ann Arbor.
I'll give you a trivia question, a trivia thing that you can make a lot of money on. If you ask somebody, what's the first country you come to if you go directly south of Detroit?
South of Detroit.
You go directly south of Detroit. What is the first foreign country you come to?
Oh, I don't know.
Canada. Windsor, Ontario is south of Detroit. Look it up on the map.
Oh, really?
Yeah, isn't that funny? Interesting. Okay, so Michigan's number 2. All right, what do you think, Ed? Where do you think is... I'm going to give you a hint. It's a northeastern state.
Wow. Can't be New York.
Well...
It can't be.
Roll the drum. It's not New York. It's Connecticut.
Connecticut.
It's
so small there.
It's interesting, though, isn't it? I wonder if that's really a true... It came from Quote Wizard. Anyway, thank you so very much for listening. You be safe out there. Do your Christmas shopping like you're supposed to. Hopefully, we'll be back on Wednesday. And remember, freedom works.
Let's go dance. WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hill.